Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to Talking Points. This is your host, Brian Kelly, the points guy. And before we dive into today's episode, there's one thing I want each and every single one of you listening right now to do. Sign up for our new refreshed daily newsletter. Just go to thepointsguy.com/newsletter and sign up today so you don't miss out on a single deal. This episode may feature offers that are subject to change and are offered by our advertising partners. ThePointsGuy.com is a free website, so we do advertise in order to generate revenue. For a full listing of our advertising policy, go to ThePointsGuy.com/advertising. And on today's episode of Talking Points, we're going to a place where I know very little about our topic, which I guess isn't all that unusual. We're going to be talking about timeshares with the Chief Brand Officer of Wyndham Destinations, Noah Brodsky. Noah, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Brian.
We were just joking. So I think, is this the first, you know, real travel podcast on timeshares?
Timeshare is this amazing but hidden gem of the travel industry that not a lot of people talk about. So I'm excited to talk about it a little bit here today.
And so just for the listeners out there, so Wyndham is used to be one big company, last June split into two separate. Noah, do you want to talk about why Wyndham split the timeshare company from the hotel company?
That's right. We split the timeshare company, which is now Wyndham Destinations, the world's largest timeshare and timeshare exchange company, along with the nation's largest professionally managed North American rental business, Wyndham Vacation Rentals. And that split separate from Wyndham Hotels and Resorts. So Wyndham Destinations, which is where I am, is exclusively focused on vacations. And that's a fun part of the business to be working in.
When you say the word timeshare, it can evoke either love or hate. It's sort of like a love-hate thing, because I think there's a lot of misinformation out there. Why do you think so many people, why is there such a divide on the topic?
So I have been my entire career on the hotel side with Four Seasons, with Starwood, and then with Wyndham. And just about a year and a half ago, moved into timeshare. And I had many of those same myths and unknowns about timeshare that you just talked about. And what I've discovered from being in the business now for a year and a half is it's an amazing way to travel. There's a bunch of really cool things about it, which I'm sure we'll talk more about. First off, it's economical. Mm-hmm. Second, it gives travelers all of the things that they want out of vacation but don't get from a hotel. More space, extra amenities, lots of room to spread out. And most importantly, I think it really gives you time to spend with your family and go to all sorts of new places. Timeshare today is really different than it used to be. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't know a lot about that.
So let's just talk about the fundamentals of timeshare. So it's a large upfront investment. And then so you're technically bought into like the company, or, you know, with Wyndham, is it by property? Like, bring us through the high level finance. Like, what is the financial commitment of timeshare and the fundamentals behind it?
Sure. So today, when you buy timeshare, you're buying into a points economy. Way back when, you used to buy a fixed week. You get week number 7 in Myrtle Beach, and mm-hmm. every year you go back with your family, and you have unit number 6, and you know the people in unit 3 and 4 and 5. And that's still out there, but what all of the branded timeshare companies are selling today is points. So you buy these points, which you can then use throughout the course of the year to go to different places around the country or exchange them into all sorts of different travel options around the world. So timeshare, the upfront purchase is buying in bulk. Mm-hmm. It is economical. in the sense that it's like going to Costco and buying another product that you might get in bulk. You pay a bunch up front, but then you own this lifetime of vacations. And there's actually a great Goldman Sachs report that came out last year that really dives into every single expense within timeshare and compares that to the same lifetime of vacations in hotels. And the bottom line of the Goldman Sachs report is you save about 20% when you buy up front and you buy your timeshares.
So you have all these timeshare owners with a bunch of points. So there's a ton of points in the marketplace. Who gets to choose which property when? How does that whole system work? Is there a ranking of the longer you're in, the more preference you get?
There is. So there is a entire ecosystem within the points. And based on what you've purchased in your VIP tier, you have various rights of when you can start booking those properties. And properties, the cost of a property is going to vary based on seasonality and on the size of the suite that you want. So if you like to travel in the shoulder season, you're going to be able to get a lot more for your points than if you want to be in New York during the prime summer season.
And so let's talk valuation of points, which is always a hot topic around these parts, because with traditional loyalty programs, you can get tons of value, you can get low value. Is the swing the same, or do you try to peg a cent value to your owner so that there's no misunderstanding down the line in terms of how you value the timeshare points?
So the redemption costs are fixed permanently, contractually, legally. So those redemption costs won't change. The part that swings is the cost to buy new points over mm-hmm. time. So once you have your points and you're locked into the and you're in the system, you're able to use those points at our resorts on a very fixed schedule that you can understand and plan
ahead. Is it roughly like 1 cent per point, or do you publish that, like where if you go peak you're going to get 1 cent per point, or if you're shoulder you're getting 1.5, or is it because there's no rental, you know, because these units are not, there's no rental price technically, or some of them there are probably, right? Are there some of the units are sold excess inventory on Wyndham?
That's right. Yeah. So there are some rental opportunities. Yeah. In fact, you can use your Wyndham Reward points mm-hmm. to use excess room nights. Probably not going to find a lot in peak season. Mm-hmm. But again, in the shoulder seasons and off seasons, you'll find a lot of great opportunities to try out a timeshare suite. Because there's various levels that you can buy in at, different programs that give you different preference. So, for example, we own the Margaritaville Vacation Club, which is an awesome lifestyle brand with some really fun resorts. The price of a point to buy into there is going to be a little different mm-hmm. than if you buy into our Wildmark by Wyndham brand, which is a big West Coast timeshare brand. So the way that we like to think about it is really when people come and buy from us the first time, they're typically buying about the equivalent of a week's vacation in mm-hmm. a two-bedroom suite.
Okay.
And depending on exactly where and what they buy, that price may change a little bit.
Got it. And you can buy as many – once you're in, you can buy as many points as you want. So you retire, all of a sudden you want to be taking 2 months a year, you just buy more points based on
– That's exactly right.
Got it. And I'm sure as you get in the system, you understand the different properties and roughly what they're going for and how much it costs, you know, to buy points to stay at a two-bedroom suite for a week. You can start doing that math yourself.
Exactly. Like any points-based economy, there are super users that really love the game of the hunt, and there are great value opportunities. It's a relatively straightforward system as well. And if you just want to go in and go back again and again with your family to the same destination, it's easy to do. If you want to hunt around and go somewhere new every year, Wyndham's got 220 resorts around the world, and we have RCI as well with over 4,000 resorts, so you can go to a new hotel, a new resort every year and never run out.
So Wyndham Timeshare points, would you say they're more valuable than regular Wyndham Rewards points on the hotel side?
Well, it's a different system. You get the timeshare points every year. So
yeah.
Each year.
But can you change back and forth between the?
You can. So you can.
What's the conversion rate between the timeshare and the hotels?
It depends. It depends on, again, exactly what you've.
Oh, got it. So on the timeshare. So how many different types of program, like timeshare points, are there? Because it's not one universal point system throughout all of your different, like the Margarita points is a different platform. How do you describe that? Like,
Yeah, that's right. So there certainly is the ability to transfer between, and we try to keep it as simple as possible. But behind the simplicity up front, there are a variety of different point structures that people have bought into over the years. Wyndham began selling timeshare back in the 1960s. And so between then and now, there's all sorts of...
Do you still have people in that 60s
program? Oh, we sure do, yeah.
So yeah, I guess they'd be all... mad if you just try to switch them to a single platform.
Exactly. So there's all sorts of different ownership types out there. But what everyone shares in common is the ability to use their points for resorts the way they want to and when they want to.
And do you have a co-brand credit card for on the timeshare side to earn more points there, or is that just on the hotel side?
So the Wyndham, we have two co-brand credit cards. We have the Wyndham Rewards credit card, which earns our hotel currency, which has two uses in the timeshare world. As we talked about before, you can use it towards rental stays. You can also use your Wyndham Rewards points to offset some of your timeshare fees. So that's a very popular option for many of our timeshare owners. We also have a RCI MasterCard as well for many of our RCI owners, which comes with a suite of benefits through the RCI program.
RCI means?
RCI is the world's largest timeshare exchange platform.
Okay.
As I said, with over 4,000 resorts that participate. So many of the developers, including us and Disney and many others, and Hilton, if you own with those programs, you're able to exchange through RCI so that you can go to any of the other developer resorts.
Got it. Let's take it a step back. What is it like to stay at a timeshare versus a full-service hotel? Bring me through like everything from check-in and the experience, you know, room service and, you know, housekeeping. Like, what's this? What is it like? What is it different at a timeshare property? Let's just say Orlando, where you live, at a full-service Wyndham property, hotel versus timeshare.
The best thing about a timeshare is that you have more space. That's what I love. We've got a little kid. There is nothing better, and we spend a lot of time now traveling in timeshares. There's nothing better than at the end of the night being able to close the door and having space to yourself. And it used to be that we spent a lot of time when we were selling timeshare explaining to people the benefits of having space and a kitchen and all of that extra room. Nowadays, with the advent of home sharing and alternative lodging and all the other alternative hotels, people get the value of that space. They get why having a kitchen, yep, even when you're in an urban city, like here in New York, having a kitchen, if you're here for a week, can be a great economical money saver and also just a good way to not have to eat every single meal out.
Totally. And it is, I mean, I'm a hotel diva and I like suites, but it's crazy. Even a junior suite in major cities is hugely expensive. And getting a two-bedroom suite at most full-service properties is, I would say, exorbitant. So I guess actually the best comparison would really be, you know, you want a two-bedroom condo versus, you know, at an Airbnb versus timeshare. You know, I've never done a timeshare, but I have done Airbnb with varying success. You know, you're not going to get the cleaning and, you know, you may have an annoying owner who's not there at the time. So really with timeshare, when you check in, there's a front desk.
Yep. There's a 24-hour front desk, security, amenities. You know, you hit it on the head. I think when you're in your 20s and you're couch surfing in your 30s in your Airbnb, and then you get married, you have a kid, and nobody wants a surprise invitation.
Yeah.
You want to know what's behind that door.
Well, I'm single without a child, and I still don't want surprises.
You don't want surprises.
Yeah, and dealing with, you know, people who aren't answering their phone, and I'm, you know, it's midnight, and I'm at LAX. Where's the
– That's it. But at the same time, you know, I don't need a housekeeper in my room every day.
Yeah. So how does housekeeping work? Can you get it at a timeshare, or is it just a cleaning service you'd have to get then? Because
So typically you'll get housekeeping once a week, but yeah, certainly at our resorts you're always able to add it on, mm-hmm, additionally. Though the vast majority of our guests don't want housekeeping in there. You've got a washer dryer,
yeah,
in every unit.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're down in Orlando in the summer enjoying a two-bedroom, yeah, suite and all the amenities, you're going to be going through two or three sets of clothes a day.
Yeah.
Just do your own laundry. It's a great way to travel.
And there's usually laundry in suite?
In suite. And we've got starter laundry detergent right there for you.
Let's talk about fees, because that's something that bothers a lot of people. And, you know, especially most of these destination resorts, the hotels have crazy resort fees that add up very quickly. What about fees with timeshare? So you got these points, you redeem for a week in Orlando, two-bedroom. What are their taxes, fees? Like, what can you expect at timeshares?
Nope. So if you're an owner with us and you come to Orlando, you can expect there's no – in our Bonnet Creek Resort, there's no parking fee. There's no resort fee. There's – you're not going to pay any tax at the front desk. You're just going to have a great vacation. You've pre-purchased the right to go on vacation for the rest of your life, and that's where that benefit is. You are a owner in the Homeowners Association, and so there is a annual Homeowners Association fee, but that fee is run by a board of other owners that are elected by the other owners, and it's used to maintain and upgrade the resorts. So again, unlike the surprise you might get at a hotel where you show up and it hasn't been renovated and 10 or 15 years, in our timeshare resorts, you're going to get a recently renovated, cleaned resort because it's run by a group of owners who treat it like their own.
And so when you buy into timeshare, are you attached to one property? So you always have to be attached to one, or can you buy in a general membership?
That's right. So you're buying points into the system, and that gives you access to hundreds or thousands of properties.
But so the homeowners, I'm just trying to get my hands around. So it seems like you're kind of like attached to – you're buying into one property, but you're in the system. Do you have like a default property when you buy into timeshare with Wyndham?
So you can buy into it.
Because basically what I'm getting at, can someone avoid the homeowner's fees by just being a general Wyndham vendor?
because our owners ultimately own all of our properties, there is an HOA fee. So that HOA fee can either, depending on what you bought, again, over 50 years, there's a few different types of products that we have. You may be a member of just one specific property, or you may be part of a broader group of properties that are pooled into a single HOA.
Okay, so let's talk about life changes. You lose your job, and I'm not going to be able to use my points, and the transferability of, you know, that's the downside, right? If you buy a lifelong commitment of going on vacation and then all of a sudden things change. So how does it work once you're a Wyndham owner, whether selling your share, you know, your points every year? What are the rules around that?
Yeah, so there's lots of options. Certainly, if you've enjoyed a lifetime of vacations and you're done with it and your children, you can pass it on to your children, but if you choose not to, Wyndham will take it back. And we do that tens of thousands of times a year.
Mm-hmm.
If you
take it back or buy it back,
We will take it back from you. So a very important.
Who would just give it away?
I think it's crazy. I think it's timeshare is a great way to travel.
Yeah.
I think you can give it to your kids.
Yeah.
It is a consumable product that you're buying.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've gone on 30 or 40 or 50 years of vacations,
yeah,
and you're done with it, you know, certainly an option is we'll take it back and take over all the maintenance fees,
yeah,
immediately for
oh,
you.
Oh, got it. I see. So you don't have to pay the fees.
Exactly. You can rent out your – if you're not going to use it for a year or two, you can – as an owner, you can rent out your stays.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Ed will talk a little bit more about that because he's very knowledgeable about the whole timeshare rental market as an owner himself. You can also gift it or sell it. You can give it to charity. There's a number of options that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot more options if you own your timeshare outright. If you have a loan on your timeshare, you have some fewer options.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why it's an important decision that people should certainly understand.
Does Wyndham finance loans themselves, or do you use a bank to do that?
So we finance loans ourselves. We also have a lot of customers, especially millennials and Gen Xers, that love to put their timeshare on their credit card.
Yes.
It is a great –
but pay it off, people.
It is a great way to earn travel category spend, but pay it off.
How long does it take in general to get your value back? Is it 20 years maximizing? Is it 15 years you should expect to get – you know, I know it must depend, but is there a rule of thumb?
Well, most consumers say that they'll spend about $80,000 of travel in their lifetime, American consumers. I would guess that your average listener –
that was me last month.
It's probably a lot higher than
just
that.
Just kidding.
I think that timeshare fits into a broader life – vacation lifestyle. I think you've got your bucket list trips that you may do with your credit card and your airline points when you're going to go out to St. Helena or somewhere really spectacular. But then you've also got your everyday trips when you want a road trip with the family or with your friends. You may want to go to Vegas or Branson, Missouri, or anywhere else that are, you know, these great timeshare destinations. And for those types of trips, I think your timeshare can pay off over the usage of it over the following years.
And we see a lot of people selling their timeshares on the third party or other markets. What would you say to someone who's looking this? Okay, timeshare might be for me. why would they buy directly from Wyndham versus buying off of, you know, someone who's trying to sell theirs at a fraction of the price?
Yeah, so two things to understand. One, make sure that what you're buying is legitimate. There are a lot of timeshare resale scams out there. If you see something that is too good to be true, it probably is. And then the second thing is understand the difference in benefits from buying on the secondary market to buying directly from the timeshare developer. So with all of the branded hospitality companies, there are a series of benefits that you will only get if you buy from the developer. So make sure you understand.
What are some
those.
Of those that people could should know about?
For example, your booking window, so when you're able to get into properties, transferability between the loyalty program, the brand's loyalty program and the brand's timeshare. And
so you'll let someone, an owner, sell, but the new owner won't get a bunch of perks that they would have gotten if they bought directly through you.
That's right. There's certain benefits that you're going to get when you buy through the developer. And for each of the branded hospitality companies, there are a different set of benefits. So just make sure you understand what you're giving up if you're buying on the secondary market.
So I want the nicest timeshare Wyndham has to offer. What bring me through like the very most exclusive, expensive option you have.
Well, our best option is Presidential Reserve by Wyndham.
Ooh, that sounds fancy.
We have a phenomenal Presidential Reserve resort here in New York on 45th with a 33rd floor open-air balcony that looks out over the Chrysler Building. It's an awesome resort. We've got an amazing property in Avon, Colorado, steps from the lift that goes up to Beaver Creek. We've got Ski and Ski Out in Park City. And your Presidential Reserve membership is going to get you peak access to any of those properties into one of our presidential units.
And will that give me Wyndham Elite status on the hotel side?
I don't have anything to announce yet.
Oh, you heard it here first. So as a barely millennial at 35, I'm grasping on for dear life, it seems as if timeshares are an older school mentality. Would you agree with that or not?
Two-thirds of our buyers are millennials and Gen Xers. Millennials and Gen Xers are hitting their 30s and 40s. And like we talked about, they've got families. They want those. They want the special vacations, but they also want the regular vacations where they're going to drive to or fly to domestic locations. And we find that overwhelmingly they're really interested in this. It's all of the benefits of having more space with none of the surprises of those.
And also the insane cost of getting hotel suites, because it really there is such a huge, huge delta between a regular hotel room and a two-bedroom suite. It's like 10x sometimes.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
A two-bedroom suite with a kitchen and
a
washer
dryer. In New York City, forget about it. It's $4,000 a night.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only way to go down to Orlando is to have all that space and that amenities.
All right, Noah, let's end it. Where can people go to learn more about Wyndham Destinations?
You can learn more at WyndhamDestinations.com, or you can visit our sales center. Next time you're on vacation, find out if there's a Wyndham there and come join us. You get a nice premium, a nice gift for taking a tour, and you can learn a lot more about timeshare.
And tell them Noah Brodsky sent you. All right, Noah, thanks for joining us. And for everyone listening, I was really interested by this, and I know we haven't covered it too much on TPG, but we've got some really interesting content around timeshares coming. Thanks a lot for joining, Noah.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
For the next part of this episode, we're going to sit down with a friend of mine, points expert, and little did I know, timeshare expert, Ed Pizzarello. Ed, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Brian.
You know, admittedly, I am not a timeshare expert, and I'm excited to let you really take the lead with this portion because, you know, we just heard from Noah Brodsky of Wyndham Destinations, and I want the real deal. I think our readers right now are saying, okay, well, that sounded a little good. I know I was impressed, but let's strip it all back and look at timeshares and are they actually worth it? Let's do some math. So first off, just tell everyone just a little bit about yourself and what got you into timeshares.
Yeah, and I think the thing to consider here is if you're active in the miles and points community, you're actually very well equipped to get the most out of a timeshare because we're the folks that peel back the layers on award charts and figure out the best way to get that first class seat to, you know, pick a wonderful destination mm-hmm. somewhere around the world. So we're looking for the ways to maximize value already. And timeshares are exactly what you put into them. So if you walk into it and you buy something and you're not going to use it to the fullest extent, then you're not going to get the value out of it, especially because you are making a quote-unquote lifetime commitment.
And he explained it as a point system, right?
Yep.
Is that standard across most timeshares?
Most new purchases today are points purchases. So in the olden days, you think about it, it was, you know, you would buy week 42 at some, you know,
Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, exactly right. Yep. Yeah. That was your week and you could trade it with someone else. And that's
on a market.
A lot of people think of timeshares that way. Now it's more flexible. And again, this gets back to the value. You get a pool of points that you buy mm-hmm. and you can use those points for any timeshare property in the system. And obviously, some are going to be much better values than others.
And Starwood, I remember, used to allow their timeshare owners to buy points really cheaply.
Yeah.
Is that still the case with Marriott and the other big hotel chain timeshare subsidiaries?
So Marriott doesn't do as much of that as Starwood did. And I don't know how that's all going to come together when the dust settles on mm-hmm. you know, the merger. But there are, you know, Noah alluded to it, that they're looking at some options about, you know, potentially rolling out some elite level benefits mm-hmm. for Wyndham timeshare owners. And I think the timeshare companies, especially the ones associated with the major chains, are trying to find ways to make it look more sexy for new buyers. So there's a, you know, Wyndham has a suite of benefits for folks who buy more points, VIP service. Mm-hmm. You get, you know, preference to nicer rooms. You can book sooner. You get more housekeeping. So for folks that like the timeshare world, some of those things can be appealing, but they come at a pretty hefty price.
Mm-hmm.
And you're buying a significant chunk of points directly from, pick any of these major hotel chains that run timeshare companies, to get those benefits. It's a way for them to try and get you to keep buying from them as opposed to using the resale market.
And just for context, so you are a timeshare owner.
Mm-hmm.
How many units or...
Like, yes.
How does it work? You're a Disney, right?
I am a Disney freak, as you guys well know. We own Disney Vacation Club, and I like to say that not all timeshares are created equally, in that, you know, the mouse very rarely loses staying power,
mm-hmm.
and Disney manages to fill and sell all of those very well. And on the Disney side of things, their quote-unquote resale value stays very high, and part of that is you know, Disney's very active in maintaining their properties and also in buying back points from members and reselling them. They have their own.
And Disney, so I was shocked when Noah said that people just give their timeshares back so that they get out of the fees.
They don't do that with Disney Vacation Club. The typical, like I could take what I own at Disney mm-hmm. Vacation Club now and I could sell it for a fairly substantial mm-hmm. sum of money. I also rent my points out, and there is a secondary market for being able to rent your points out, and I rent them out for significantly more than what it cost me.
That's interesting. So, you know, I've always been, you know, thinking of timeshares as a waste. You know, they get you in on, they build up that emotional high during that pitch and you're locked in. And then, you know, timeshare owners, I always feel, are very defensive. Like, no, I didn't get swindled and it is a good deal. But it actually can be a good deal is what you're saying. Because you're a smart guy.
It can be. This gets back to, like, if you looked at, you know, we posted in the TPG Lounge and we asked for, you know, our members to tell us what they thought. And it was the full mixed bag, which I would expect. There were some folks that said it was a complete scam, I didn't get what I expected, all the way to we love it, it works perfectly for us.
Mm-hmm.
So a good cross-section of folks, and I'd guess that the ones that are happy with it probably did the research before they bought it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we bought, I don't think I thought that we would be able to rent our points out for more than what we paid for them. It just happens that that's the way Disney works right now. It's just so popular. On the Wyndham side of things, which is much more typical for other timeshares, the value to those points after you buy them goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we looked at – I looked at the resale market before we hopped on to record today, and you're looking at – there are a couple of contracts that sold recently on one of the larger sites. Fidelity is one of the more recognizable timeshare resale companies, and they sold for what probably amounts to about a 90% discount from what somebody paid for the points.
And, you know, Noah was saying, well, if you buy it on the resale, you're not going to get all these valuable perks. Is that – you know, buying a resale timeshare, is there Are there really those big downsides, like you're never going to get the full perks or whatever, or is, would you?
I think it depends on. So Disney has done a pretty good job of segregating the perks, but in the other companies, so using Wyndham as our example, as Noah noted, the biggest thing you're going to lose there are if you buy those points on the secondary market, those wouldn't count towards any VIP status that you might earn, but you need at least 400,000 points in the Wyndham program to have VIP service. And to put that in context from a financial standpoint, that's an initial investment of, you know, $60,000 or $70,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty significant financial commitment for
yep.
a lot of folks.
So, right.
And then you've got the maintenance fees on top of that. So I think you've got to be really into timeshare to invest that kind of money.
Yeah.
So if you're just going to buy enough to have a vacation for a week every year, you're never going to get to the level of being a VIP with Wyndham at 400,000 points. So it probably doesn't matter to most smart folks that are going to buy timeshares.
Let's talk about the financial. So what are the key tranches of timeshare, the initial investment and then the other key things people have to take into account if they're looking at it?
Yeah, so and I've got some Wyndham examples. And so as a general rule of thumb, we can say that timeshare maintenance fees are going to go up about 3% a year. The typical Wyndham first-time buyer is going to spend somewhere between, call it $20,000 and $30,000. And depending on where they spend those points, that gets them a one-week vacation somewhere across Wyndham's map, which is a huge map.
Mm-hmm.
That is the benefit in buying from Wyndham. And that can be a one-bedroom unit in a much nicer property, or it could be a two-bedroom unit in maybe a property that's not quite as aspirational,
mm-hmm.
if you will. But if you wanted to stay at, you know, Whistler or one of the nicer properties in Hawaii or things like that, that's probably going to be more like a one-bedroom room
yep.
that you're buying. Whereas if you want to stay in, you know, Tennessee, Smoky Mountains, you can get a two-bedroom unit. And the flexibility that members have with these programs is they can decide to – they have a system called banking and borrowing
mm-hmm.
where essentially you have a bucket of points every year. You can roll your points forward. You can roll your points back to give yourself a bigger pool.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to have a big family reunion or you want a nicer room with a better suite, you know, all that
so
stuff.
So you can forego a vacation one year to do a much nicer one the next?
You can. You can also split up into much smaller trips. You can just do long weekends. You know, this gets back to making sure you know how you're going to use the unit. One of our TPG Lounge members actually said that they bought from Wyndham. And when they got home and started to go through the math of it, they realized that they normally do travel on long weekends. And when they looked at the charts, the places that they wanted to go, the numbers just didn't make sense for them to do those short trips. They were.
And is it mostly – do you have to – I know I hate traveling to certain destinations where it's Saturday to Saturday.
Yeah.
So is that the case with timeshare or does it depend?
It's not necessarily that. But if you think about it, you know, as Noah noted, a lot of the reason why you know, millennials are thinking about this is because they're having kids. And you don't necessarily go Saturday to Saturday, but as you start to fold into the school schedules, everybody's traveling the same time.
Right.
And so that can be some of the trouble with these resorts. And the big mistake we made when we first bought our timeshare was understanding that where we bought because we want, you know, that gave us our longer booking windows. Normally the way timeshares work, wherever your quote-unquote home resort is,
mm-hmm.
you get to book there sooner than everybody else. And it's like, oh, well, that's really great. But I'm never going to book a vacation 13 months out.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't do it.
Yeah.
So from that standpoint.
So you get like the last slim pickings, I guess.
This is what some people don't realize.
Yeah.
You need to think about how you're going to use it. If you're
starting to get stressed out already.
If you're not going to book 13 months ahead of time, then where you buy your home resort doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
If you're never going to book that far ahead, having the advantage of booking that far ahead is useless to you. You don't have any value. It doesn't have any value for it. Another thing too is,
and then in that case, does it just make sense to buy points off of secondary market?
Wyndham actually has an interesting thing too. They have a program that I believe they call Access, where you don't necessarily have a quote unquote home resort.
Mm-hmm.
You're sort of like spread out a bunch of home resorts. So that could also be another path for folks if they don't specifically want to get into one place. And I think if you're going down the timeshare path in today's world, I think it should be to use
mm-hmm.
the entire suite of properties they offer as opposed to always going to the same place.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it makes sense to buy in and go to the same place every year. you're paying a premium to get that variety, I think. Yeah.
All right, so let's get back to it. So you pay the upfront, let's call it $25,000 or I don't know what your model has. And then what are the yearly fees? You know, Noah made it sound great. Oh, no resort, no resort fees. We're flying high. But then there's actually are quite a bit of fees. So you pay this big chunk upfront.
Yeah, and so using those numbers at around $25,000, you'd be paying about, in today's dollars, you'd be paying about $800 a year in fees. Mm-hmm. And if we say that that's going to go up 3% a year, over the course of 20 years, you're going to spend about $20,000 in maintenance fees. Mm-hmm. Over the course of those first 20 years. You spent $25,000 to buy in, so you're all in for about $45,000. And under that scenario, you say if you took 1 week long vacation a year, you'd be spending, you know, $2,500 a year or $2,250 a year for, mm-hmm. for that vacation, which isn't horrible. So if we knew we were getting a one bedroom or a two bedroom unit, we'd say that's a great value. If we were staying at some of the more aspirational destinations and getting the smaller units, you know, at $300 a night, you know, I think our TPG members can do much better than that mm-hmm. using their miles and points. Mm-hmm. So, again, I think it's knowing what you're getting yourself into and making sure that you can get the value out of it. And, you know, Noah brought up as well the benefit of having a kitchen in your room mm-hmm. to be able to cook your meals. Again, let's be honest with ourselves when we buy it. Are you actually going to cook meals? Mm-hmm. So from our standpoint, you know, we have two kids. We'll do breakfast in the morning. But for the rest of our trip, you know, we're going to go out and we want nice restaurants. So we're going to go do that. So for us, we don't get as much value out of the kitchen as somebody else might. I'm not saying that means that nobody will. Yeah. But I think if you're buying into a timeshare and some of the cost savings you're amortizing in are, hey, we're going to cook our meals here, make sure that's actually true, that mm-hmm. you're being honest with yourself when you say, I'm going to go buy groceries, I'm going to stock the fridge, and I'm going to cook. A lot of people don't like to do that on vacation.
And because really, timeshares should be more compared to Airbnbs and vacation rentals than they should hotels, right? Like full service hotels when you're looking at pricing. So really what I think is, could you get a similar property at $300 a night on Airbnb? But what's the difference? You know, do you stay in Airbnbs often? And how would you describe the difference?
Yeah, I don't stay in Airbnbs often. I'm one of the few folks out there who's still nervous about, yeah. you know, am I going to show up? Is there actually going to be a room? You know, did the owner put a camera in my bedroom?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
All that stuff. So I think the Airbnbs of the world have actually helped timeshares.
Hmm.
You know, timeshares sit in between hotels and Airbnb. They're a more structured version of an Airbnb. You've got a front desk. You've got security. You've got a bunch of mm-hmm. things that you don't necessarily have with an Airbnb. Doesn't mean Airbnb is a bad thing, but for somebody like me who says, I don't really want to leave it to chance. Is the host going to be there when I show up, all that stuff? Timeshares eliminate those elements.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a dedicated room. You've got a reservation. You know, as Noah said, the Bonnet Creek property that I went to down at Disney World, which is on Disney's property, they've got free parking.
Yeah.
There's a front desk that's manned 24 hours a day. So, you know, you obviously
you might be able to get cheaper in Airbnb, but you're getting a lot more in terms of, like, mitigating risk a lot more by staying in a timeshare.
You're mitigating risk, and then depending on where you're going, you know, using that example down at Bonnet Creek, the property has three or four pools, there's a lazy river, there's three or four restaurants, so there are other amenities that you wouldn't necessarily expect to get in an Airbnb.
So when we strip it all down, so you're paying $2,500 a week, did we say? And is that really a great price? Can you get it cheaper through other means, that similar property on the secondhand market every year? Like, why lock yourself in? Give up a bunch of capital that you could invest elsewhere.
Yeah, from a cash standpoint, I think, you know, buying on the resale market can be a very smart path, especially because there's a lot of legislation around how resale timeshares need to be sold. So those companies are regulated. It's deeded timeshare, which means you're buying real estate. So it's governed by both timeshare law and real estate law. So you have protections.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the companies that do this, the most reputable companies have great reputations. So there was a time where I think buying a timeshare on the resale market was going to be very prone to being scammed.
Yeah.
But there are a couple of companies, Fidelity, the Timeshare Store, who are very reputable. They deal in all the different flavors of timeshares. They do dozens of transactions a month, and you're very unlikely to be scammed.
And let's just bring it back to Wyndham. One thing I wasn't 100% clear on. So say you have Wyndham points.
Yep.
They transfer. You know, Wyndham's hotel program is 15,000 points a night for any property.
Right.
Which is crazy. Those timeshare points, do they transfer one-to-one? Can you get a ton of value by buying a Wyndham timeshare, getting all these timeshare points and then funneling them through to the normal program, or is it?
Yeah, I don't think so. You can transfer 1,000 of your Wyndham destination points and turn them into 400 Wyndham rewards points. So I don't see a ton of value there.
And at the 25,000, how many – do you know their points? Like how many destination points is that?
Yeah, so $25,000 would buy you somewhere in the 160,000 to 170,000 points. So
divide that by four, yeah, 40,000. You know, you're getting like three free nights at a Wyndham hotel or a week in a timeshare, roughly.
Yeah, and I think there's some variability on where people are buying it at. So we're using average numbers based on the data that we were able to glean, both from asking Wyndham a bunch of questions and then talking with TPG Lounge members who were willing to share with us what they actually bought, what spiffs they might have gotten from their presentation mm-hmm. when they went to go do the timeshare presentation, and then also looking at on the resale market. So there's a bunch of different flavors when it comes to the numbers, but I think we can safely say that it's probably not a great value mm-hmm. to transfer our points in an absolute world. But if you weren't going to use a timeshare property, yes, absolutely. We want to move them over and bank them and get some value.
Three nights could be, you know, there are some of those really nice Wyndham properties that are $300, $400, $500 a night. All right, let's talk about, so you went through the Wyndham pitch experience. You know, the timeshare presentations are known in the travel world as, you know, there's, you know, usually great incentive to sit down. How many timeshare presentations in your life have you sat through?
Less than you might think. Probably only three or four.
Okay. Are they unbearable in general?
So the very first one I sat in was everything that's bad about timeshare presentations. The guy was screaming. He wouldn't let us leave.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm almost positive it was our honeymoon in Cancun.
Uh-huh.
And I sat there going, like, what the heck did I get myself into? And I was turned off on timeshares for quite some time because of that. But I'm aging myself here, mm-hmm. but that goes back almost 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, from that standpoint, it definitely has changed. Now, I will say down at Wyndham Bonnet Creek, where I went through their presentation, that place is a factory. Mm-hmm. There are three or four rooms. Each room holds, probably 50 or 60 people.
Oh, wow.
And they were all jamming when I was there. Hmm. There's a huge reception area.
What were they giving people to come in? Does it vary? Or what can people expect? If people are like, you know what, I'm in Orlando, let's go try this out. Like, sign-up bonus for a timeshare presentation? Rough range of values.
Yeah, we've seen a whole bunch of different things. So we saw everything from we had a TPG Lounge member that got a Kindle as his gift, which you'd say was, I call it $100.
Mm-hmm.
Another typical benefit, which for folks in our world of miles and points is probably a better choice, is a lot of times they'll let you buy a fairly discounted vacation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, three nights and 4 days for $200 mm-hmm. and you have to go through a timeshare presentation. A lot of states have laws about how long they can actually hold you for the presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And so
what's the rough time frame that
90
you should
90 minutes
90
is
minutes
the,
is
90 minutes is the like firmly get your butt up and say I'm leaving.
Got it.
I'm done.
If you give them your contact info, can you expect to be harangued?
You can absolutely expect to, and you'll see that there are, if you were to Google timeshare lawsuits, you'll see plenty of them. There still are deceptive sales practices in the industry. I think the firmest thing we can say here is make sure you get it in writing. Yeah. Whatever it is you're buying, don't take a promise from a salesperson. They're incentivized to sell you something.
Yep.
Get whatever it is you think that you're getting. Make sure it's in writing, because then it's bound by law. It's deeded timeshare. They have to abide by it.
So get it in writing. And is there a place you would recommend people go? So they're at the final stages. How do you check to know if you're getting a good deal on a timeshare?
There's no good resource for new timeshare deals. There are message boards out there that talk about the different timeshare communities. Each program has a timeshare board. So Disney has their own Disney Vacation Club. There are some others for RCI and places like that. On the resale market, there are resources out there that tell you where properties are selling for. And the sites themselves will actually tell you Fidelity and the timeshare store will tell you what contracts are sold for recently. So we can hop on there right now.
So you can
look
at comps, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I can see that somebody bought 308,000 points, mm-hmm. which if I bought that from Wyndham directly would cost us, in the $50,000 range, let's say roughly. That sold for $3,600.
That's a huge delta. So $3,600, and then they just pay the $800, you know, call it $1,000 a year in fees.
Well, that because it's a larger chunk of points, maintenance fees is closer to $2,000. Okay. So you pay maintenance fees based on how many points you own, and the reason for that is, in theory, these points calculate out to some amount of space in the property.
Got it.
So
it's like, yeah,
one
it's
bedroom,
like,
two bedroom. So,
yeah, exactly.
So they do have to maintain the room. So the more points you buy, the higher your maintenance fees are. So,
but you those points, that's the for in perpetuity.
For so with for Wyndham,
$3,600 bucks to buy, you know, what is this, a huge two bedroom or three bedroom suite for the rest of your life at $2,000 a year.
At $2,000 a year for your maintenance fees, yeah. Now that's going to go up 3%, so we got to figure in time value of money over that time. It is going to cost more, but in today's dollars, it's costing you $2,000 a year for that vacation.
I mean, it sounds too good to be true.
That's where the resale market comes in, and different timeshares work different ways. We're talking about
so Wyndham. Basically, that person just got $3,600 bucks instead of giving it back to Wyndham for free.
Pretty much, yeah. And you like as Noah said, you can give it back to Wyndham, but you're not getting anything for it when you do it.
Right. You're just absolving yourself of paying those monthly fees.
You are. And sometimes that, you know, there are some reports out there. We've heard some reports from folks that that process is not always as straightforward as as it might be made out to be in terms of giving it back. But if you're not expecting anything in return, it's certainly going to go smoother from a process standpoint. Wyndham is different than some other timeshares, Disney Vacation Club, where I own. Those are deeded timeshare, but they're only deeded for 50 years. So I don't have a lifelong asset, but I have a 50-year asset that I can give to my kids if I want, but I only get 50 years where the Wyndham timeshare points are forever and ever.
Interesting. So many different nuances. Ed, thanks for joining us today. Where can people follow you and your prolific podcasting, blogging? You do it all.
I do, not unlike yourself. Well, you can find me writing at The Points Guy, which I do for you guys on an infrequent basis.
And you were our number one writer last week or 2 weeks
was
ago.
Really?
I think so.
Wow. Cool.
By some metric or another.
Yeah. And if you guys like podcasting, you can find my podcast, Miles to Go.
That's all for this episode of Talking Points. A huge thanks to Noah Brodsky of Wyndham Destinations and our very own Ed Pizzarello. Again, I'm your host, Brian Kelly, and this episode was produced by Caroline Chagrin and Jessica Rovniak, with editing by Ryan Gabus. Our music's by Breakmaster Cylinder, and a special thanks to Adam Kotkin and Mike Bruno. If you like this episode and want to hear more, make sure you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you downloaded this podcast. But more importantly, tell your friends. The more people we have listening, the more episodes we'll make. And if you tag me on Instagram at Brian Kelly or use the hashtag Talking Points on social media, I might even give you a shout out. See you next week. And until then, safe travels.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.